If you withstand a force that's coming at you, that means you're resisting it. You're tensing yourself, preparing yourself so that that force will not knock you over, but that you will remain on your feet, withstand in the evil day. The evil day. That day of temptation and the devil's hostility. What day is that? It could be any day. Could be any day. Thankfully, in the Christian life, it's not every day. The Lord spares us from a whole lot that we never know. But there are particular times of attack. Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and today we let the Bible speak on Ephesians 6:14, putting on the whole armor of God and standing with the belt of truth. God's truth, gospel truth. This is what gives authority and power to the gospel message. We would have no good news for men if we did not have the truth. We could not tell sinners there is assurance of sins forgiven if we did not have the inspired word of the living God. But because we have that word in our hands, we can stand on the street corner, we can go to a person's door, we can talk one-to-one and say, look, here, God has spoken. There's a message for your soul. And here on radio as well, we can seek to encourage you to take heed, because this is not man's message. This was not from the earth, but this is a word from heaven for your very own soul. And I hope that today you will take heed, join with us as we go now to our pulpit ministry from the Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale in the Bible text, Ephesians 6:14. Now we move to reasons or incentives to put on the girdle of truth. Put on this belt of truth, firstly, as a badge. That's who you are. I'm a Christian. I am a believer. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been given a book, and this word is to me the word of truth. And even here in this church service, if you were to come in a stranger and you'd never met anybody in this congregation before, and you were wondering, who are these people and where do they stand? I would like to think that before you go through one meeting, that you would be saying, these people stand on the Bible. That's their stand. That's their badge. They're identified as being a people of the book. And they may have other warts and wrinkles and issues in their lives, but you can sure note that these people actually believe this book and by God's grace seek to stand upon it. And so this preaching, teaching ministry is the badge of the individual Christian. It's the badge of the church. It's who we are. It's our ID. It tells the world that we are followers of the Lord Jesus and seek to do his will by following his word. It also has a use to keep up our communion with God. God says that we are to buy the truth and sell it not. If you sell the truth, you sell out on God. How can you get on your knees and pray if you are selling out the truth and not standing upon the word of God? There is such a close affinity between your prayer life and the Word of God. There is such immediacy in effect. If you abandon the Bible, you'll never be a man or woman of prayer. If you cling to this Bible and love its truths and feast upon it and rejoice in it, oh, it'll stir up in your heart a desire to be in communion, to be in prayer with God. And I would have to say that the prayerless man is usually the man that's not feeding on the word. And it can work either way. And so there's a big reason to keep up our communion with God. God also seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. You know that verse? John 4:24. The Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and truth. And so now this is the use that we have. And if we are going to engage in biblical worship and true worship, then we are going to base on truth. We also put on this belt as a defense against every form of the enemy's deception. Deception. Satan hates truth. His ministry is a ministry of deception. He is a liar. Truth, therefore, is our protection. The work of the devil is called the accuser. Satan, the accuser. There's a Greek word for it. It's called kategoros. And in Revelation 12:10, I'm not sure we'll get to that for a while in our Sunday evening meetings. Revelation 12:10, he is referred to as the accuser that accuses the brethren day and night. Day and night. He never gives up. It's his constant task to deceive and to accuse the people of God. He questions God's word. He questions the book. He seeks to lead you as he led Eve. Has God said? Did God really teach that? There's the dagger out. There's the attempt to try and bleed you to death of your vibrant Christianity. He wants you bloodless, anemic, that you will not be a fighter, that you will be less resilient and lay down and accept his ways. But it's the word of God is the weapon by which we fight and resist the devil. In the wilderness, when our Lord fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan came tempting. And every time that the devil set up a proposition, every time the devil said, turn these stones into bread, the Lord was hungry. Humanly, he would have been famished and would have loved to satisfy his hunger. But the Lord said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You can see how the Lord used the word. He took the word and he said, it is written. And here is Jesus, the living word. And he's giving you and me an example here that we resist the devil. We withstand the evil one by the written word. Put your finger right on the verse. Put your finger right on the written text and say, it is written. And when the devil would lead the Lord up into that mountain and show him the kingdoms of the world and say, all of these will I give you if you bow down and worship me. Now that would have been a shortcut to kingly glory. But again, the Lord said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so here is the power, the effective power of the word to deliver us. Now, do not be surprised that those religions that come with the Bible in one hand and one of their own books in the other, that's the mark of a cult, isn't it? The Bible in one hand and some other system or text of authority on the other hand. And they try to tell you, well, we believe the Bible, but also this. And they add and they seek to lead us astray. And so to be equipped to stand against these errors and all their various forms, we need to put on this belt of truth and be standing strong. You need to be protected from those underhand daggers. Now, this is not strange warfare to the Christian. I get phone calls from people, I get individuals saying, how can I resist this attack? And it might come in a very subtle way through a dear friend, someone that you know and trust and want to please.
And the devil makes them the agent of the attack. And it's like a dagger. It's like a dagger seeking to attack you in that vulnerable spot. Or for a teenager, it might be a mother and father that don't know the Lord. And what the natural proper tendency of a young person is to please their parents. And many, whether in teenage years or later years, have had to say, Mom and Dad, I love you, but I love the Lord first. And I'm going to serve the Lord first. And there the sword divides. Jesus said, think not that I'm come to bring peace, but I'm come to bring a sword. And when the gospel brings division in families, there is a powerful temptation to yield, to compromise in error. But the Lord tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And this is the first item. This belt of truth, as your honorable means of promoting the Lord's cause. There's no other way to serve the Lord but to take your stand on the Bible. There's no other way to be a true church but to take your stand on the Bible. God calls us to do battle honorably. We do not promote the gospel in an underhand, secretive fashion. Everything's on the table. This is what we believe. This is what the Bible teaches. And we have an open display of our wares, and we call every man to fully inspect the gospel treasure before we call them to the truth. This is an honest, open way of serving the Lord. We do not trick men into gospel religion, but rather we call them to the truth, to see it, to recognize it, to confess it, and to commit to the truth so that they will serve the Lord standing on the Bible. This book is not for entertainment. It is to equip and call men to serve and follow after the Lord Jesus. The dirtiest betrayal of any action in this world would be to try and use deceit to win a soul, to use a lie. Now, if you lie about a business deal, it might cost the person deceived maybe $1,000. If you, that's a week's pay. For many people, even $1 million, well, that's a lifetime's work. But if we tell a lie in the work of the gospel, that's going to affect souls for all eternity. And they will be damned, doomed, and lost for all eternity because we were unwilling to present to them the truth. Now, when you preach the gospel, there are some hard truths. There is a real hell. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is wrath from God against sin of all forms. And we are called to preach that gospel. The Apostle Paul said, testifying both to Jews and Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian today, I must call you to repent. I must call you to leave the sin of this world and flee to Christ to save your soul. That's the gospel. That's the news that Jesus saves and turns them. Another verse in Acts 20:27, Paul said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And so we must be willing to preach this gospel in all its forms and in all its ways, to preach the whole truth. So, what will you do? Take the the girdle of truth. Put it on. Let it be your defense. Let it be your badge. And let it be your witness that you are standing, promoting, preaching, telling forth the truth of the gospel. Now, lastly, the stand for the truth that's required in our present day. And I was mentioning humanism earlier, and I want to get to those things now. We are living in fearful times when it comes to philosophies and notions and the agendas of men. Every day, the darkness of the devil is at work in this country and around the world to destroy men and to take them down in the path of error to hell. And in reality, in every century, there has been different forms of this battle for the truth. In the first century, it was the person of Jesus Christ. And it went two ways. There were those who denied his deity, and then there was the Gnostics who denied his humanity. And there's always been this attack on the nature, the character, the person of the Lord Jesus. And that raged in the first century. In the third century, the attack was the Trinity. And there were those councils required and those defenses raised up that there might be a stand taken for the triune nature of God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the church had to enter into battle to resolve, settle, and stand that they might hold to the truth. Then in the 1800s, the Reformation period, I think many know, and that was a grand back to the Bible movement. But then in the 1800s, there was Darwinism, the evolutionary agenda, and the German rationalism, the liberalism, meeting with the evolutionary agenda, they used that to destroy the warp and woof of Christianity. In the 1900s, liberalism and German rationalism again, it was the miracles of the Bible. They were denied, rejected. They were jettisoned from the gospel. And then in this century, the battle is humanism. And that humanism, which is the theory that man does not need God at all. Man is his own God, and he follows his own agenda. And it leads to relativism. Everything is relative. What is truth to you is not necessarily truth to the next person. And the objective truth is denied. There becomes no longer solid, fixed, concrete truth. And that becomes ruinous. It's ruinous even in the scientific world. You know, people talk about the evidences of science. But even in the science world now, there's a denial of anything that's fixed, everything that's it's rendered to a theory and not absolute. That notion makes every man his own arbiter of the truth. He now becomes his own judge of what is right and wrong. And like the days of the judges, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's what young people are fed in school, in universities. Let nobody tell you what's right and wrong. Right and wrong is subjective. It is relative to you, to your position, and what works for you. What is now pragmatism? If it works, that's success. And you take the statistical preponderance of what people believe and what benefits the human population. That is humanism at work. And that lie, that system, of course, it only breeds contempt against the objective and final truth of God. And so we're living in days when there is no blame morality. In the abortion scandals, there's no blame. You can have an abortion and you should not feel guilt. and those who perform the abortions should not feel guilt, and no one has the right to even preach against and expose that immorality. Don't tell this kid at school that he has failed. It's a no-failure policy. Don't tell the boss that you didn't perform. And don't tell God that you've sinned. That's the fruit. That's the end product of humanism. Because there is no right, no wrong. Good becomes evil, and evil becomes good. And much of this came from an American philosopher, an American liberal educator, John Dewey, who propounded that what works is true. If it works, it's true. And so seeming success becomes the barometer of what is right. And do you know what it leads to? Everybody is doing it, so it must be right. Oh, the gospel of the Lord Jesus cuts through that. If the friendship of the world is enmity with God, when the world is, beware when all men speak well of you. We are people standing for the truth. Now, it is antithetical to biblical Christianity, which calls believers to submit to the Word of God. And when you're asked to put on the girdle of truth, you are a person who now is committed to the written Word of God. And when you're faced with the agendas of men and the immoralities of this world, your commitment is to the Word, to the living, written Word of God. And as you do that, you walk in the truth, in the light, and you seek to do the truth. Now, it was Pilate who asked, what is truth? That's one of the greatest questions of the world. What is truth? And of course, we look at our Lord Jesus and say, here is truth. We look into the scriptures of the Bible and we answer, here is truth. And so what will you do with Jesus? That now becomes the gospel question. What will you do with Jesus? He called you to believe on him. He says that if you are my friends, you will keep my commandments. What will you do with Jesus? To check for the spirit of humanism in your heart versus the Bible, I've got three questions for you. Number one, do I let the word of Christ dwell in me richly? You see, I chose that text deliberately this morning because this is very important. If you are withstanding humanism and all of these isms of the day, then here's the first check. Am I letting the Word of Christ dwell in me richly? Letting it do its work. Let it guide me. Let it bolster me up in times of temptation and be my guide when I'm making decisions. Secondly, do I keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus as the model of truth? He is the truth. And we need to keep our eyes well fixed in him. Now, this is not the question, what would Jesus do? It's this question, what has Jesus taught me to do? And there's a subtle distinction there. It's not just what would Jesus do. It's what Jesus has taught me to do and follow his word. Thirdly, do I pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to breathe power into my soul to live according to the book, the Word of God? That should be in your prayer life. We're living in a wicked world, an ungodly world, a world of, I can't say unprecedented, because we know what the world was like before judgment came in Noah's day. A world that certainly our fathers and grandfathers did not know of. There are evils at play today against the Christian and against the cause of Christ that are new and powerful and destructive, and we need to stand. Having done all, to stand. And here's the first item of the armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Dr. R.A. Torrey said that one evening I was told that a minister's son was present in my congregation. And though that minister's son professed to be a Christian, that he did not work much at it. Mr. Torrey said, I watched for him and selected the man in the audience and whom I thought he was, and he selected right. At the close of the service, he hurried to the door by which the young man would leave, and he shook hands with others and with him. And he said to him, good evening. I'm glad to see you here. Are you a friend of Jesus? Yes, answered the young man heartily. I consider myself a friend of Jesus. Jesus said, Mr. Torrey replied, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. The young man's eyes fell. If those are the conditions, I guess I'm not. What a sifting question this is. It's easy to say, oh, I'm in. I'm under the umbrella of Christianity. I'm a friend of Jesus. But the terms of that true friendship is that ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And so I put to you today, are you a friend of the Lord Jesus?
Well, that wraps up our program for today, as we have brought to you the message of the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I look forward to hearing from you. If you would like to give me a call, send me an email. We like to get feedback from those who are listening in, and I trust benefiting and entering into blessing through the power of God's holy word. Thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for the closing announcements. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gollaher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when once more we let the Bible speak.